Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. It's a call, it's a call. It's a call for us to gather. It's a call for us to come together. It's a call for us to come to something. We have that opportunity. You know, I hear often within myself and others, I'm going to go to church on Sunday. I'm going to go to church on Sunday. Well, you made a decision to come to church. And the Lord has just been resounding that word over and over again to me. Come, come, come. It's like, Lord, what are we coming to? What are we coming to? And so a couple of scriptures that he gave me in Hebrews. And it says in Hebrews 12, whoops. Here, I can read it here. Well, first, I just want to say thank you for coming. You know, because it always impresses me the people who have to get up every day of the week to go somewhere, to go to work, to go to school, have to get up to take care of other people, have to do things. And you could choose to have this day be a day where you don't go to anything. You just stay at home. And there's a delight in that, a place of staying at home. But instead, you decide to come. To come here, and you've come. And so God wants us to know a lot about what we've come to so that we can take full enjoyment, full benefit, full opportunity to connect with what he's doing. So it says in Hebrews, for we are not coming as Moses did to a physical mountain with its burning fire, thick clouds of darkness and gloom, and a raging whirlwind. We are not those who are being warned by the jarring blast of a trumpet and the thundering voice, the fearful voice that they begged to be silenced. They couldn't handle God's command that said, if so much as an animal approaches the mountain, it's to be stoned to death. The astounding phenomena Moses witnessed caused him to shudder with fear, and he could only say, I'm trembling in terror. But, it says, by contrast, we have already come near to God in a totally different realm. This is the Zion realm, for we have entered the city of the living God. Hallelujah. This is talking about what we've come to. We've entered the city of the living God, which is the new Jerusalem in heaven. We have joined the festal gathering of myriads of angels in their joyous celebrations. Myriads. That's a big number of angels in joyous celebration. We've got this banner about joy in his presence. There's joy being celebrated here in this place. Angelic joy. And we have come to it. In other words, when you made a decision to come, you made a decision to connect. So I trust you're connected to this joyous celebration going on. As members of the Church of the Firstborn, all our names have been legally registered as citizens of heaven. And we've come before God, who judges all and who lives among the spirits of the righteous who have been made perfect in his eyes. And it says, we've come to Jesus, who establishes a new covenant with his blood sprinkled upon the mercy seat. Blood that continues to speak from heaven forgiveness. You've come to a place where there's a speaking forth, forgiven, 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 forgiven over us. It's a better message than Abel's blood that cries from the earth justice. And so this is what we've come to. And then he led me to the scripture in also in Hebrews chapter 4. So then, we must cling to faith that all we know to be true, for we have a magnificent King Priest, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who rose into the heavenly realm for us and now sympathizes with us in all our frailty. He understands humanity, for as a man, our magnificent King Priest was tempted in every way just as we are and conquered sin. So now we come boldly. We come freely to where love is enthroned. And we come and receive mercy's kiss. We discover the grace we urgently need to strengthen us in our time of weakness. We come to the place where our needs are met. We come because we want to glorify him, but he says, come and I'm going to minister to you. I'm going to bring forth to you, because that's what we come to. So when you came this morning, were you aware, that's what I'm coming to, a throne room of grace, a place where Jesus is, that we can come to this? And in Hebrews 11, it also talks about coming. And it says, without faith living in us, it would be impossible to please God. But we come to God in faith. Knowing, what do we do? What do we know? We know he's real. We know he rewards the faith of those who give all their passion and strength into seeking him. Today we come to an opportunity to give more passion towards him, to seek him. In other words, to say, I'll focus my eyes on you. I'll focus my words and thoughts on you. I'll focus myself on you. This, I've come for you, Lord. I've come. Oh, Lord, that's what we're saying today by our coming. We're not just going to something, but we've come because you've opened up a realm. You're opening up a door to saying, come higher, come closer, come and be intimate with me, come into all that I have for you, come this day into a place of abundant grace, come where there's mercy and forgiveness, come where there's love, come where there's strength and power, but also come in my presence where I am the majestic one. Come in a place where you see me because I'm revealing myself to you. Come and give me worship. Come in and raise your voices and exalt my name, because in doing so, there's a new place, a new measure of intimacy that I have invited you to. This day I say to you, come. Come, come closer, come higher, come. Come before me, because I'm here. I'm here in your midst. I'm here with you for this very day. Not something tomorrow or the next day, though that occurs too. But the Lord says, I'm here today for you to come into that place. Come into me. Come into me, he says. I've made a place within myself for you to dwell. Where a place where there's beauty and glory and joy. Where there's peace. Where there's safety. Where there's healing. This is a day. Come into me where there's healing. Come into me today where there's provision. Come, come, come. Come, come, come. Come. And so, Lord, we come. We come before you today with certainty you are here. We come with certainty that you are a good God. And as we seek you, as we come close to you with passion, you reward us. You reward us with the greatest reward, which is you. Manifest yourself today. Reward us with a manifestation of your presence through your word, through your workings. Manifest yourself today, for you are our great reward. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Lord, we come, come, come into your presence. Lord, we come. It's not just a story. It's a living, breathing, walking testimony of a God so good he'd leave his home in glory. The God, the world he loved, the world that he so loved. It's not just a story. No, it's not just a story. It's a living, breathing, walking, action. I believe he's coming back again. I believe that his spirit's with us. I believe that he gives us power. I believe that he is the Son of God. I believe it. I believe it. I believe it. I believe it. I believe in the life of Jesus. I believe it. I believe it.
Bye.
a groaning in my spirit to see your kingdom come, to see your power moving through the earth. Lord, let your will be done. Of what you're doing, God. I want to see your Holy Spirit moving. I want to change the atmosphere around me. I want to see your holy fire consume me. There's a groaning in my spirit. Lord, I want to see the nations in revival. my spirit to see your kingdom come.
Cross over to the other side, for I am your joy and your strength. I am your joy and your strength. Cross over to the other side. That is where you will fulfill my glory. My children, thus saith the Lord, you are mine. Cross over to the other side with joy, with love, with my glory coming forth from you, because you dwell in me and I dwell in you. Thus saith the Lord God Almighty. Be satisfied with crossing over to the other side.
And you've come to my throne. You've come and you've come asking. And I hear what you're asking. And I like what you're asking. I'm eager to respond. Sing this song again. And let us just declare that the Lord says, my ears are open. I'm listening and ready to respond to the passion and desire of your heart, because you're not asking something for yourself. You're asking something that's according to my heart, my will, and my purpose. I'm excited about what you're asking for, and I'm excited to give it to you.
Almost started singing a different song. Cause there's a groaning in my spirit, and it resonates with the heart of God to see your kingdom come. We want to see your power moving through. Lord, let your will be done. 'Cause I wanna be in the middle of what you're doing, God. I wanna see your Holy Spirit moving. I wanna change the atmosphere around me. It's my heart's desire. Holy fire consuming. 'Cause there's a groaning in my spirit to see your kingdom come, to see your power moving through the earth. Lord, let your will be done.
I hear your cry. I see your work, the work that you're doing within yourself through the power of my Holy Spirit. I am readying you, and I have readied you for this time, for such a time as this. You will see my glory go across the nation, revival across the nations, and in this place, and in your families, revival. I am coming with strength and might and power. I am igniting that Holy Spirit, that consuming fire, to take away all fear, all doubt. And I am consuming you with my Spirit. I will go forth with you as you move in this time, for this is the day and this is the hour that you have been waiting for. Open your eyes and your ears and hear and see with my eyes and ears, for this is the time that you've been calling for.
Yeah. And we say yes.
And I hear the Lord say, yes. Yes, I've put you in the middle of what I'm doing. Yes, I made you for such a time as this. Yes, you carry my Spirit and you carry my heart's desire. The Lord says, yes, your eyes are open and your ears are open. So the Lord says that you are going to experience, you are going to release, you are going to lay hold of my kingdom in incredible ways. And the Lord says, yes, you will release signs and you will release wonders. Yes, you will bring healing to the sick and you will bring deliverance to those that are tormented, because my kingdom is in you. You are my kingdom people, and I have made you for this time, and you are in the center of what I am doing. I have said yes to you.
Yes, we say yes, yes, yes to you, Lord. Yes, Lord.
And heaven's breaking out. Heaven's breaking out in us. Heaven's breaking out. Lift up a shout, cause it's all for your glory. Heaven's breaking out. Heaven's breaking out.
Lift up the shout, cause it's Are you not my city? Have I ordained you to be my city? Have I not ordained you to bring others into my city and make them citizens of my city by my spirit within you, by my word working through you? And in this time and this season and the hour, I have ordained you not only just to sit back and watch me, but to be participants of what I am doing. Have I not said to come and let us labor together? Come, my sons and daughters, and let us labor together. I've provided the resources, and they're available to you. By my wisdom I put within you, you can know what to do, when to do, how to do my will on earth as it is in heaven. For this is the hour, and this is the season. But know that this is the time when the enemy will do all he can to try to hold you back, but I've given you my strength of my joy and the righteousness of my peace to prevail over everything he brings against you.
Just lift your hands right now and receive that peace. Receive his peace from the Prince of Peace. Just receive it and let that peace begin to flood your heart, your innermost being. And with that peace, mix it with the joy of the Lord. For his kingdom is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. So just drink in a little more peace. Drink a little more joy in the Holy Spirit. For I am pouring out my spirit in a fresh and a new way. And I'm breaking out and bringing you out of the familiar. And I'm bringing you into a new place, saith the Lord. For you have been in dry places and desert places. And you've been going around and around, but I'm bringing you out. I'm bringing you out of the wilderness into my presence, saith the Lord. For in my presence is fullness of joy. And so I am bringing you to a new place, a peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. So learn how to walk in my presence. Learn how to not only receive peace and joy, but how to release it. For as you release it, you're going to see others come into an encounter with me, saith the Lord. For this is a time of divine encounter, and you are carriers of my presence. And so as you release the joy and the peace on the inside of you, it will be contagious, and it will begin to draw others in. Those who have been distanced will begin to see a light on the inside of you. For I am causing you to shine brighter and brighter. For as you begin to shine brighter and brighter, you're going to begin to change the atmosphere around you. And it's going to begin to show my glory in a fresh and new way. For others will come and say, who is this or that person? I knew them in the natural, but something has taken place and they're different now. For this is a time for you to be transformed and for you to come out of the familiar and come into the new. For this way is a new way. So step into it this morning as you worship me in spirit and in truth. Come out of the familiar and come into the new.
We receive and we release. We receive and we release your power. Lord, we receive and we release. We receive and we release your love. And the atmosphere is changing now. For the Spirit of the Lord is here. The evidence is all around. Spirit of the Lord is here. overflow in this place. Fill our hearts with your love. Your love surrounds us. You're the reason we came to encounter your love. Your love surrounds us. We're surrounded by your love.
Thank you.
can happen now. For the Spirit of the Lord is here, and the evidence is all around. But the Spirit of the Lord is here. We worship you, Lord. You alone are worthy. We give you all the glory. We give you all the glory. Oh, Christ, the Lord. Glory to you, God.
What a way to end that. Just lift your hands this morning. What a way to end. We give you all the glory. We give you all our lives. We give you everything, Lord. We adore you this morning, Jesus. As we honor and give you all glory and power and all praise to the King of Glory this morning. We say you are high and lifted up, Jesus, and no one is worthy like you. We stand in awe of you this morning. Hallelujah. What a way to end that. Amen. Ooh, give him all the glory. Give him all the praise. Wow. All the glory, all the praise, all the worship. Wow. You know, I just feel with the prophetic words and the songs, you know, if you listen to the songs, there's a declaration, there's prayer in it, there's intercession, there's all kinds of things that happen. And what I felt like this morning is we had the prophetic and the songs going forth, that he's breaking us out of familiar. So you don't have to wait for an altar call to experience God. He's setting his altar up and setting his table. And so we're going to see miracles, I believe, as we worship him, as we're caught up into him, giving him all the glory and the honor. He's going to show up. So as we show up, and we heard this morning, come. Come boldly into the throne room of grace. When you show up, come with your fullness. Come with everything in you, all your energy. Come with great expectation, because in his presence is fullness. Amen. Let's give him another praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. I don't know where to go from here. I really do. It's amazing how much Holy Spirit just confirms over and over. We show up and he always shows up. Yeah. So it's so good to see you. You know, I thank you for showing up. You just don't show up and come and kind of hope something happens. You come and with great expectation and faith. Faith is an atmosphere. You want to change the atmosphere, come in faith.
Amen.
Because without faith, it's impossible to please him. So when we come in, we come with expectation. Yes. Amen? Yes. Expectation that he's already here.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen? Expecting that he's going to show up.
Thank you, Lord.
And just manifest himself. Wow. Well, thank you for showing up. Thank you for being here. I know we have a many, and there's a lot of things out there in the natural, some lingering things, viruses and colds and coughs. And I have a pastor friend that's been 8 weeks in this congestion thing. Wow. 8 weeks and just can't seem to break out. And, you know, I've had other people that you've heard of the 100-day cough. I heard people that just got this lingering cough, 100-day cough. I also saw that's another terminology for the whooping cough. Or whooping cough, or whooping cough, whooping cough, whatever you call that. But that's another name for it. So there's a lot of things lingering. I just want to pray. We had a call this morning from someone that's had a virus just lingering for several weeks here, and just saying, I'm going to stay home. Another one that Anna, who's staying with us, just woke up, and she's got something in her. And so we want to pray And just release that. If that's you, you have something lingering on, you just can't seem to shake off. Maybe it's a little bit of tiredness. Maybe it's just kind of a cough that pops up, or a runny nose or something like that. There's a lot of things in the atmosphere, but God.
Amen.
And we're going to break them. We're going to pray over you.
Amen.
We're going to release that. So receive it. For your family, you know, family members, I think everybody knows someone. It's got these lingering symptoms, and there's so much out there in the respiratory and colds, flu season, sinuses, whatever it is, God knows. And so we're going to pray and just release healing over you, but we're going to pray for some of the prayer requests here. And as we do that, we're also going to pray for Israel. This is Hanukkah. They're in Hanukkah, the middle of it. And let's just pray for their eyes to be open, the Jewish people, their eyes to be open. As they're celebrating Hanukkah, all of a sudden they'll see Jesus. They'll see what Hanukkah is all about. It's about their Messiah, that they're waiting to return to do something, and he's already come and he wants to do something. So let's just pray. Father, we thank you right now. We thank you that you're the God that heals. And so we thank you. You know all these lingering symptoms and situations right now. Those, Father, that are not with us this morning, lingering with coughs and congestion and, Father, tiredness and pain. We thank you by the name of Jesus. We send the word right now and declare miracles over them. We break, Father, this lingering symptoms that continues to make people weary, Father, and tired, that it causes them to check out. We break that right now. I break it over anyone here with any lingering symptom in your body, in the name of Jesus, in your families, members, in the name of Jesus. We declare healing being released right now, that Father, we thank you. You're the Lord that heals, and you're Jehovah Rapha, and you're the Lord God that heals, and by your stripes we are healed. So we receive, Father, a healing in our bodies. Break, Father, those lingering coughs right now, fever, Father, congestion right now, runny nose, cold symptoms, flu symptoms right now, respiratory symptoms, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We break the power of the spirit of infirmity and release in the name of Jesus healing. And Father, we pray, we stand with our Father, brothers and sisters, and in the Jewish people right now, Father, as they're celebrating Hanukkah, we thank you that the eyes of their heart is being enlightened, that each day as they light a new candle, that Father, they're getting a glimpse of the Messiah, but not of his coming, but Father, a revelation that their Messiah is standing before them. And as they see Jesus right now, they're brought into, Father, that relationship. And so we pray for Israel right now, even in the midst of war, Father, as Father, they're doing what they believe they're supposed to be doing. We thank you. You're encountering them. And the Palestinians right now, Father, this whole region of, Father, the Middle East, Lebanon and Gaza and, Father, Syria and Iran and Iraq, Father, and Yemen right now, Father, Egypt. We just declare this whole region right now that's on fire and natural war will begin to blow up in a spiritual revival all across its nations, that people supernaturally will encounter Jesus right now in dreams and visions. And Father, we release that into the Middle East. We release it right now into Dearborn, into, Father, West Bloomfield and around this area, into the people of Israel, and Father, the descendants of Ishmael also, Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for revival, and we give you honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 A couple announcements. It's hard to believe we're almost midway through December. 2024 is going to be here quick. And so in 2 weeks, we're going to be celebrating on Christmas Eve. We'll be celebrating a Christmas here. We're going to have the children stay in and the children's team staying in. And it's going to be a family time. And so you don't want to miss and just come in, celebrate Christmas with us. It's something about coming together and your family celebrate. And we won't make it long. I got insight that I won't be preaching that day. So you can say hallelujah or amen, but that's all I'll tell you. So no, Apostle Linda will be preaching this morning. She's got a good message working with Amy. And so you want to come in and just not hear the message of Christmas. You want to come in and encounter the person of Christmas, Jesus Christ. Amen. Prophet Susie challenged us this week and the mangers. And so I wasn't going to put up our major scene, but in light of that, we got a new major scene. We had to get something that was bright. And it is a major scene, but it's something different. And I love it. And we're just going to be bold in our proclamation. Amen. That when they see the major scene, it's not just seeing the story and telling the Christmas story and baby Jesus and, you know, in a major. Praise God, it's going to bring revelation. So 2 weeks, you want to be here, bring your family. Also, we are still receiving the offering, and you can all just, why don't y'all just take an envelope out of the the chairs in front of you. Just take that, and we're going to pray over the offering, over your tithes and offerings. This is just a reminder of the ways you can give at the bottom of this. You can give in the envelope, put it in the offering boxes out in the hallway, or you can give online. Thank you for your faithfulness and the breakthrough fund. You've been very generous through November. Now we're going to go through December. We want to bless others with just an offering and a gift to help them through this season. So, Father, I thank you as we hold these envelopes. It's a reminder of your glory and that you're Jehovah Jireh, the Lord God that supplies our every need, and you meet every need. So we thank you that you have called us to bring our tithes and our offerings into the storehouse, and we thank you that you open the heaven, Father, and you'll rebuke the devourer for our sake, and we're to prove you. So we thank you that it's a reminder that we're, Father, you're our provider. You meet our every need according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. So we thank you for blessing the offering this morning, blessing those that give online, those that are giving, Father, through just every means that we have. We thank you that we're honoring you. And Father, we're extending your kingdom, expanding it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, we want to dismiss the children if they haven't gone. And I was tempted to stay down there this morning as I smelt the pancakes and the sausage. And whoa, I said no. So appreciate those that are providing for the children. They get a feast. But you know, the Lord set a table before us. And this morning, I just excited because all the songs that we sang, I don't know about you, but I don't want a normal life. It's easy to have a normal life. Amen. And as we sang, you know, I'm revival about ready to happen. Woo! There's fire in my bones. Amen. I want to break out from the old stuffy, familiar, normal life. I want to break out into a supernatural life. And as you notice, so much of the songs that we were singing this morning were talking about the Holy Spirit. And so I want to talk to you this morning what I believe is a key scripture. I believe it's only one sentence, but it locks together everything God's doing. And we were singing, and I can't remember all the words. I just love the words in the songs, you know. I want to be on that cutting edge.
Yes.
You know, that cutting edge, it's sharp. Yes. But I'll tell you, that's where things happen. That's where things begin to break out in your life. And, you know, the atmosphere. You want to change the atmosphere around you, you first have to change the atmosphere in you. And it starts in you. Revival is about you. And bringing heaven to earth is about bringing heaven in you so that heaven can flow out of you. And expect to start preaching, but stirring you up, get you ready here. Because I believe that, and I'm going to just give credit real quick to Rick Renner. I appreciate Rick Renner's, and many of you have Sparkling Gems. I believe it's one of the best devotionals. Rick Renner is in Moscow, Russia, and just been there for years seeing revival. He stepped in there after the Iron Curtain wall came down in Russia and the change in there. He's been there. But I don't know of anyone that takes Hebrew and Greek and then just brings it, makes it so clear as Rick Renner. So in Sparkling Gems, and the Lord had me just reading real quick a book he wrote in 1991 or 92, Dress the Kill. And so if you're wondering a little bit, but this really stirred me up as I was thinking about this scripture. And all of a sudden, it was turned on me, and Rick Renner, someone years ago, and I see her out there now, gave us a Christmas gift, and it was one of those revolving calendars that, you know, you go through the year. It was Rick Renner's in there, and I just happened to remember, he comes and gives this scripture several times during the year. So I was flipping through it to find all the times that this scripture was mentioned. Then Apostle Linda said, well, just look in Sparkling Gems. You know, it lists the scriptures that he uses every day. They're just powerful. But he's often in Ephesians, Colossians, Galatians, Philippians, which I believe are the core of who we are in Christ. I believe they're the core. Once you get into the kingdom of God, you need to know how to grow in the kingdom. And Paul was the one that brings us into a revelation of what Jesus did on the cross. He's the one that gave us Colossians chapter 1, verse 27, Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's not enough just to receive Jesus, but he wants to form Christ in us. He wants to bring us to full maturity. He wants us to grow up in all aspects in Christ. And so we don't just stay at the cross. We remember the cross. We never move from the cross, but we remember what the cross did for us, but now we're growing up in the things of Christ. And so Rick Renner, just a powerful teaching on scripture. It's a scripture, Hebrew, Greek, and I appreciate it. I'm just going to acknowledge Rick Renner a little bit before I get in the scripture. So I'm trying to hold back, because I know as soon as I tell you, you're going to be getting in your Bibles, and it get flashed up here, and everybody go up here. So let me tell you this and see if you can figure where it is. In the King James, New King James, it says, finally, brethren. Now, that's the first two words. If you can figure out where that is at, if you know what scripture, if your memory, you memorize that one. Finally, brethren, he may have said it a lot of times, but I know in this particular scripture, and a clue is it's in Ephesians. So, finally, brethren. Now, let me give you a couple things about finally. It's found in chapter 6 and verse 10. So chapter 6, verse 10 is very small. It says, finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. That's it. But that's a connecting scripture. If you don't get that scripture, forget going into the armor of God. And the Lord gave me this analogy. I don't know how good it is. I'm just going to go with it because he brought it back to me again. But, you know, you ever seen a Marine Corps when they're dressed in all their blue?
Yeah.
And you look at them, and I mean, they may be different heights, but man, they're all.
Yeah.
They're all narrow. They're all. I mean, they're different people, but they're all built the same. They didn't come in that way.
No. Yeah.
They all came in, and I can think, you know, it's kind of like the F troop.
Yeah.
Some of you go way back. But, you know, when you come into the Army, you all come in, all shapes, sizes.
Yeah.
Come on now.
And you may stay the same height, but they're going to change you.
Yeah.
And when you see those, I would always look and I think, man, these guys are cut. And they're all the same. How they get that way? It reminded me years ago in 1980s when we were playing ball, and our Detroit Gospel Tabernacle softball team went to the Nationals. We were runner-up in the state. We had a good ball team. And at the Nationals, there was a team from Tennessee that was there. And when I saw them, I thought, they all look the same. They were all about 5'7", but they were all built like spark plugs. And all 10 of them could hit the ball out of the park. We looked at these guys. Well, he says, finally. That word finally means in conclusion. In light of everything else. He's already taught you theology in Ephesians chapter 1 and 2. He's taught you on the power of redemption and being transformed into the image of God and who you are in Christ. He gives you all the doctrine and the theology at the beginning of Ephesians. And then as he moves through the middle, and you got to understand, the church at Ephesus was the biggest church during Jesus' time. It's believed it could have been 80 to 100 and some thousand. Now, the church at Ephesus meant the city of Ephesus. It'd be like looking around the city of Detroit and saying, the church in the region of Detroit. But it would include all the little pockets. I came up the street on Grand River and all the churches up there. It would include all those. So if you accumulated all the numbers, that's what it would be when we talk about the church of Ephesus. It was not only the biggest church during that time, but Timothy was the one that pastored it. So it's important that you know that Timothy is the pastor when you read 1 and 2 Timothy, because Paul's given encouragement to a young pastor who has this mega church that's massive. And yet it's not perfect, because in Ephesians he tells them about all the things that's going on in their lives. You think, whoa. You think a church that was that spiritual wouldn't be dealing with bitterness and strife. If you understand what was going on in Jesus' time, that was not the good old days. You think it's bad now. It does not compare to when Jesus' time. Nero was brutal. And you think that Hamas is brutal. Neo was 10 times more brutal. So go back. I mean, the sexuality was crazy. You think Sodom and Gomorrah? I mean, back there in Corinth and Ephesus, they had temples that when you came up, you had to spend time in the temple as a prostitute, male or female prostitute. Yep. Yep. Go and study this. It was bad back then. So Paul's saying, finally, in conclusion, I told you how bad it is here. I've given you doctrine. And he says, finally, and he's saying, let me give you the big picture. And he says, finally, in conclusion. And in the King James and in the NIV, I think it says, finally, my brethren, or brethren. Now let me tell you about that word brethren. That word brethren in the Greek is twofold. First of all, it's brethren that come out of the same womb.
Come on.
So he's speaking to the church at Ephesus, and whenever you see in the Greek that word brethren in the New Testament writing, he's talking about brethren that came out of the same womb. Well, what's he talking about? Spiritually, we all get born again the same way. We came out of the same womb of the Spirit of God.
Amen.
So he's talking to about every person that has received Jesus. They came out of the same womb. So he says, brethren, finally, brethren. So he's addressing those that came out of the same womb, but the word brethren also means something more than that. It means those that are in the same war together. It means comrades. It's those that are in the same war fighting next to you in the same foxhole. So brethren, those that came out of the same room may not look like you, but you're comrades together. So brethren was more than just being out of the same womb. It means that you were in the same battle together. So Paul's saying, finally, brethren, those that came out of the same womb, born again, and those that are in the same battle. Same war. Are you following that? So some of those that are born again in your family are more brethren in the spirit than those that are just natural.
Right.
Is that right?
Yep.
Okay. Okay, so he starts off by saying, finally, brethren. Now let me say this. It's kind of like before they put those Marines in a uniform in blue, something has to happen. I mean, I just see a ragtag when they go in there. You know, I think of people going in there. I think of my time when, you know, it came and I had to go for, you know, my test for, you know, I was in the lottery. I was the first year in the lottery to go in service. And I remember going down there and they strip you. I mean, it's embarrassing.
Yeah, it is.
You get to walk through all the tests and everything in your underwear.
Yep.
And we went in January, so it was cold. There's no heat. You walk in there and there's fat guys, there's skinny guys. You look at this and you think, these guys are going to represent this nation? There's a process that goes from the natural to being ready and put in that uniform. This is what Paul's referring to here. He doesn't put you in the armor before he does something first in you. It doesn't do you any good to put you in the armor if he doesn't first take this place in verse 10. 10 is a prerequisite for putting on the armor. Are you out there?
Yes.
Are you ready for this?
Yes.
Aren't you glad they sent our guys through boot camp? And the guys that stand there in uniform are not the guys that got thrown out or didn't make it. These are the guys that persevere. And when they come out, they may be all height, but they look, boy, they're cut. Whoa.
Thank you, Lord.
I look at these guys, wow, how'd that happen? Did they just go and look for these guys? No. Okay, so now you can turn to Ephesians chapter 6, because I believe this is the key for us to walk in the supernatural. If we don't get this down, I'm going to break it down, because every word in this small paragraph does a transition from Ephesians 1 through Ephesians 6:9, but before you get in Ephesians 6:11. Most of the time we jump right into the armor of God. It's like a ragtag army being put together, and he's putting the right, it's kind of like them putting Saul's armor on David to send him out to fight Goliath. It was too big for him. He couldn't handle it. He says, this is crazy. I don't fit good in this. Let me just handle it. Know what I'm familiar with.
All right.
So this is what he says. Finally, brethren, and I put their brother in there. Now, and it says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. There's three words in here that are all different Greek words. But talk about this preparation. The first one is be strong. It doesn't say try to be strong. It says be strong. And this tense in the Greek means it's not an option, it's a command. Whoa. So he's not making a suggestion, be strong, do your best. That's not it. The emphasis in here in the tense of the Greek, and that's why we miss so much in the English, because there's more tenses in the words used in the Greek. And so if you don't get the tense, and so this tense is not an option, it's a command. And not only is it a command, but it's continual. It's not a one-time thing. See, when our Marines go and they show up in their dress, it's not just they stop boot camp. While they're in the war, they're still training. They're still being upgraded. Okay? Sometimes I've been filled with the Holy Spirit, and we think it's a one-time. No. So this word strong, the first one he starts with, this is what, it's actually two Greek words put together to make one English word, strong. And the first word is, it's en, I'm not going to pronounce the whole thing, but it's en, which means in or into. So he says, finally, brother, be strong, be in or be into. And the second word that makes up this Greek word is a word that we get our word dunamis. So it says, be strong, be into and be strong, or the word dunamis, which we get our word dynamite. Okay, are you with me? This is the first thing. Before you get in the armor, you better make sure you're into, not just being strong is too weak of a word.
Amen.
It's really power, dunamis.
Yes.
You're into dunamis power.
Yes.
It's already on the inside of you when he puts you in the armor. The armor doesn't make anything out of you. It's what's in the armor.
Yes, yes.
And if there's nothing on the inside of you, well, you can put that armor on and you're not going anywhere. You may look good. You ever seen guys dressed? You know, sometimes, you know, I appreciate the military. But sometimes you see guys that have retired and you think, well, they're out of shape. And praise God, they served their time. But in the military, you don't get a break. So look what it says. So dunamis, that means explosive strength, ability, or power. So the word in the Greek means in or into, it's en. And dunamis means ability, strength, or power. It means explosive power. The idea of being infused with an excess dose of dunamis, inner strength and ability. Let me say this again. I love this. Oh, so I just wrote what Rick Renner said down on some of this. So what he says, it's the ideal of being infused with an excessive, whoo, how many want to be infused with his dunamis power? Being infused with an excessive dose of dunamis inner strength and ability. So it's not the armor on the outside that makes a soldier. It's what's going on the inside. So he's saying, be strong in the power or in the strength, the dunamis, be infused. How many want to be infused this morning? I mean, we sang about it, but I don't think we understood what we were singing. He's saying, receive a supernatural strengthening, an eternal deposit of power into your inner man. This is what he's saying. He's saying, receive, finally, brethren, receive a supernatural strengthening, an internal deposit of power into your inner man.
Yes.
Woo! I mean, just saying that, I feel like, woo! I mean, if this was the only word he used in here, but it's not. It's only one word. Every word in this is so powerful. It says be. It doesn't say do. It says be. Receive this explosive power. Receive this explosive strength and power in your inner man. Man, I could just keep saying that to you. Receive. It's by faith. Nothing that you're going to do. You can't receive this strength because it doesn't come from you. But all he's saying is receive.
Yes.
Woo. The strength, ability, and power in your inner man.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, man, that'll fire you up. Finally, be strong. So the Greek tense means Paul was not suggesting that you receive power. He was commanding. He's urging you. Before you put on the armor, you better get this part right. Because you can put something in the armor, it's not going to do any good. Unless it receives first this transformation on the inside. Amen. He's urging them in the strongest of words. The tense also is an ongoing. So it's not just be strong one time. It's keep being strong.
Yes.
Keep being strengthened. Keep receiving.
Yes. Whew. Yes,
keep Oh. And the strong of words, Paul is saying, it's a lasting effort of power upon believers' life. He wants to breathe into us a lasting, so he says, keep receiving. Sounds like John chapter 7. Is any thirsty, let him come and drink. That out of his belly will flow rivers of living water. It's in the same tense, present, passive tense. And that present passive tense means keep coming, keep drinking, keep receiving, keep being filled. Woo! Amen? I mean, go in the battle and give the devil a black eye, but no, come back out and you got to be filled again. Keep being filled. It says in Ephesians chapter 5, don't be drunk with wine where there's excess, but be filled. Keep being filled with the Holy Spirit. So he's talking about a supernatural power. Before you go into war, we got to know the war we're in. And we're in a war. And it's not against flesh and blood. It's against principalities and powers. And you're not going to, your weapons are not carnal for this war, but they're supernatural. So what is it? He says, I'm putting supernatural power. Be strong. Be strong. Be empowered with my ability, with my power. Are you there? If nothing else, I'm preaching myself happy. Oh, so he says, and the power can only be found in one place. That's what he says. Be strong in the Lord. It can only be found in one place. It's in the Lord. This power can't be found anywhere else. It can only be found in the Lord. So this strength and this power is what he put in Jesus when he raised him from the dead. So if you're in the Lord, then Jesus is in you. You have this strength already on the inside of you. Amen. Waiting to happen. Yes. Not waiting to get to heaven, but waiting to break out. Yes. In fact, I'll get ahead of myself, but finally be strong in the Lord. So this power is locked up in the person of Jesus. It's not just kind of like electricity. It's not an anointing. Jesus is the anointing. He is the power. It's locked up in a person and cannot be found anywhere else and only in a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot find this anywhere else but in a personal, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. You can't, and that's why Paul says finally, you can't find it in studying the scripture. As good as doctrine is in the scripture, you can't find that in that. Because it can tell you about Jesus, but you may not personally experience his power. So that's why Paul's saying is, I want to take you beyond a knowing in the natural to experiencing of it. And you're going to see that as we look at the other words in the scripture. So it's a relationship with Jesus. 1 John 4:4, and we quote this all the time. Greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. Why do we talk so much about the devil? Because we can see it in the natural. But greater is he who's in us. This power can only be found in a personal relationship with Jesus. The stronger your relationship with Jesus, the more you'll know that greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Doesn't matter what's going on out there, I'm going to just tell you. Greater is he. Greater. He's not equal. Not a little bit above. He's superior above all. Amen. And it's not about to happen. It's already happened.
Come on. Say that again.
When he came out of the grave, Amen. He settled that. Amen. The devil's operating under lies. And as long as we can receive his lies, then he'll keep us in suppression. Yeah. Too late. We're breaking out. Yeah. Man, every time you say greater, Doesn't matter what test, trial, situation, circumstances that come upon you, just turn and say, greater is he that's in me. I got something on the inside. I got the power of God. I got the ability of God in us. He's in me, and because he's in me, God has hidden his power in him. Therefore, the power of God is in me because he's in me and I'm in him. Oh my goodness. Okay, we're getting there. 1 Corinthians 6:17 says, "But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit." So the minute you received Jesus, you became one spirit with him. Oh. Keep your place there. Let's look at a couple of scriptures in Ephesians. Go back to Ephesians chapter 1 because we're going to bring this one up again. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 18. He talks about this is how you should be praying. You want an apostolic prayer? You want a biblical prayer? This is it. "I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints and what is the surpassing greatness of his power." That's the same word. Strong. His power, that power toward us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might. That's the last part of Ephesians chapter 10. It's a different Greek word though, and we're going to get to that. But the first power is the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is the same power that he's put on the inside. He says, so finally, be strong, not in a less power, but in the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, and now all that power has been given to Jesus, and now he's taken Jesus and he says, "I put him in you, and if you're in him and he's in you, then you have access to all the power of heaven." Not only do you have power, but you have authority. Are you there? So it says this. What are the riches of the glory of the inherent saints, verse 19, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe? These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he wrought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places. So this power was demonstrated in the resurrection of Jesus. But it didn't stop there. When Jesus ascended to heaven, sat down, then the Father turned to him and the promise of Holy Spirit, he gave it to Jesus and Jesus poured it out in the book of Acts. Oh my. Chapter 3. So that was in prayer. Paul again says in prayer in chapter 3 and verse 14, "This reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom the whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name," the same ones that are come out of the same womb, "that he might grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with power through his spirit in the inner man." Same thing Paul concludes in chapter 6 and verse 10. Be strong. That word strong is that same thing. Be infused with the same power in your inner man. Isn't that, boy, that's powerful. And you want to be praying a biblical prayer? You should be praying Ephesians 1 and Ephesians 3. Don't be praying all these other ones, wishing and hoping, begging and screaming. I mean, if you get the power of God on the inside operating, the wisdom of God on the inside, you got the answer to everything you need.
Yes, yes, yes.
Solomon, when he was challenged in a dream, and God said, "Solomon, what do you want me to do for you?" Solomon didn't say, "Give me riches, give me fame." He said, "I'm just a young man, I don't know what to do. Give me wisdom." He says, "Because you ask for the right thing, you'll have resources." Why? Because all the power and resources of God are in Christ. And now Christ is in you. Do you understand why the devil is fighting this? Because if he can keep you shut down, he gets to run rampant. Yeah. But man, you come alive, you're going to change the atmosphere around. He don't want to be around you. He got his head crushed once, and every time you're speaking the word, "Greater is he that is in me," you're reminding him his head is crushed. You got your foot on his neck. Yeah. And don't let up. Yeah. Keep Keep some prayer every time you quote the word. In Jesus' name. Dr. Tunde goes, I understand that. Keep my foot on the head, the neck of Satan. And he will soon crush Satan under your feet. The God of peace. Amen? So, that's the first part. Woo! Acts 17:28 says this, "For in him we live, move, and have our being." I mean, there's not anything else outside that. Living, having your being, but it's in him. Why? So Paul's saying, finally, brethren, be strong. And that's that word, dunamis. You can only be in Christ, or you can only get this power of being in Christ, through a personal relationship with him and Holy Spirit. It does not come any other way. You can't read it. You can't argue doctrine. You can't argue natural experience doing any more. It comes through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen? Amen. So, Ephesians 1:19 says, strength of his might. Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 10. So he says, be strong in the Lord. So that's the first Greek word. It's in the Lord, and that's the key. The second one, and in the strength. It's a completely different Greek word. It's not the same word. It's a completely good Greek word. It's K-R-A-T-O-S, and it means power. But this power is a demonstrative, eruptive, tangible. It almost always comes with some type of external manifestation. So he just doesn't want you to experience the power of God on the inside. He says, be strong in the Lord. So that's the power on the inside. But then he says, and in the strength. And that word is a tangible expressive. In other words, that don't bottle it up. What he's saying right now in this whole thing, if this is going to manifest, he's got to have a vessel to pour it into. Guess who the vessel is? It's us. So not only does he say, be strong in the power, the dunamis power. I mean, that's on the inside. But he says, and the strength, and that word there means the explosive, tangible manifestation of that power on the inside. You know, you're a walking time bomb. Think of that. Man.
Yes.
In a good way.
Yes.
Okay, so the second word, power, is a demonstration. It's an eruptive and almost always comes with some type of external manifestation. It's the strongest flow of power in the entire universe. It's the strongest source of power in the universe. It really is referring to the resurrection. This is resurrection power. See, we get excited that we're filled with the Holy Spirit, and he says you'll be filled with the Holy Spirit and with power. So we're excited we're filled with power.
Amen.
We're walking around with power. The second one says, let it out. I just got filled again. I'm filled. Oh, I had an experience. Woo! This power's not for you. The world is waiting for the manifestation of this power. And God chose to put it in vessels that, you know, are a mess. Yes. But when you come to him, he cleans up that mess. I mean, what was God thinking when he looked at us and saying, I'm going to pour out this power? Ooh. I can see, you know, I had to do a little bit of ROTC while I was in college. And it seems like all the drill sergeants are guys that are small and like to get a little authority.
Attitude.
And add it. You know what I'm saying? Why did they make these guys come out and spit in your face? And, you know, and you couldn't do anything. Are you following this? Okay. I better get off that. So the second one here in Ephesians chapter 10 is be strong. First one is be strong in the Lord. The second one is strength. This is a power that's the greatest power in the universe. I believe this is the power that is expanding the universe. When you start to see what's coming back through technology of what's out there, and they're discovering whole new universes and galaxies and all that. I mean, it mind boggles my mind. This is the power that's expanding the universe. He says, be strong in the Lord and the strength. This power, be strong in that power. Whew. Are you following this? He didn't stop there, though. And of his might. That's a third thing. It's a whole different Greek word. This is crazy. His might is a picture of an extremely strong man. It pictures God as one who is able above everything else. So not only does he put this power that's greater than any other power in the universe on the inside, but now he's telling you who's going to watch over the strong man. This is in the Greek terminology, back in the Greek time. This is what they believed that Hercules and all those, gods, they were infused with a power outside of themselves. That's what made Hercules strong. It was the mighty strength of an outside source. And so it says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Amen. You're strong in him, but it's his might. Amen. Are you following this? So he gives us like three words in there that are all different Greek words that mean something different, to tell you you've been infused with something greater than anything else you're going to face in the natural, because it's supernatural. And then he tells you to put on the armor of God. If you're not infused with these three things, forget the armor of God. It's a mental assignment you go through. I put on the mental of God, but there's nothing on the inside. When fear comes, you're running. He puts that man who's been made on the inside and tells him to put on the armor of God. No sense doing verse 11 through 18. In fact, I don't want to stop there, because he sandwiches in between 10 and 18 the armor, but in verse 18, what do you do with this? Verse 18 says, with all prayer. How do you activate this power in prayer? Through all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. I'll tell you what, I'm hearing more and more, hearing evidence right in here, that as we've activated, people are getting filled with the Holy Spirit, and they say, I was praying in tongues, they're getting tongues, and they're getting answer to prayer. Because you don't know how to pray as you ought in this situation. And as things get more crazy, I don't know how to pray for Israel. But the Spirit of God knows how to pray, and he knows the will of God. So when I think of Israel, I just start praying in the Spirit. Amen. Amen. Things in my life, I don't know what the answer is. I got some good ideas, but boy, I tell you, start praying in the Spirit and things start to happen. Yeah. Wow, how'd that happen? You were praying with all manner of prayer in the Spirit. So in between being strong in the Lord and the power of his might, and putting on the armor of God, and make sure you're praying. There's no sense some people get dressed, but they're dressed for a parade. I don't know where that came from. That just. We're not dressed for a parade. We're dressed for war.
Amen.
It says you wrestle against. You're not going out, you know, in the armor of God to parade around, and, you know, we're going out to demonstrate the power of God.
Yes. Yes.
The presence of God. We're going out to reveal him. So it says, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. So be on alert. Someone that goes to war is on alert. They're not taken off guard. They're not surprised when the enemy comes. Everything that can be shaken will be shaken. And I'm going to tell you, I don't like to tell you this, but I'm going to tell you this. I believe the shaking is going to continue. It's going to continue until Jesus comes back and sets up his kingdom. So don't worry about the shaking. Remember, though, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. If we put the, be strong in the Lord, and we get that on the inside operating, it doesn't matter what comes. Because greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I'm ready to go out and not just face the enemy and the giants in my life. I'm going to run at them.
Come on.
See, people, they kind of want to get in and they kind of, but I'm telling you, this strength's going to cause you to run at
Amen.
Trouble. You don't have to wait for trouble to come upon you. You're going to run at trouble. Just like David ran at Goliath. Because the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So I know that greater is he that's in me. And whatever it's coming, it doesn't matter. I'm going to run at it with the word of God. The name of Jesus. Praying with all manner of prayer in the Spirit. And it's not going to be just a casual. I'm telling you, when I go to war, man, I like going to war like in the Gladiators and, the Patriots. Those guys didn't stand back and say, charge. God's saying it's not a time to hold back. It's time to let loose.
Amen.
And he says, I've given you everything that you need to cut loose. Stop looking on the external things, but start to look on the internal. I'm telling you, when you start to operate this way, reading scripture becomes alive. You feel like you're being infused into the scripture. You see yourself. And he brings all this wisdom and revelation. What's that word? Strategically. We got this word last night from our 12-year-old granddaughter. She's the youngest in my son's family. We're up there and playing with the puppies. And they were taking a break, so they love to play games, so we're playing cards. And Kara is kind of slow at playing her cards. We're saying, come on, Kara, play your cards, And she'd pull it out, put it back in that. And then she comes up with the word.
I'm going to do this strategically.
I'm going to do, and.
Don't rush me.
Yeah, don't rush me. I'm going to do this strategically. Robert, my son, my daughter-in-law, Betsy, and Apostle Linda and I all at once said, that's the word for the church.
Come on. Let's get t-shirts.
Get new words. And if that wasn't enough, we woke up this morning and saw an old Dutch Sheets teaching that talked continually about strategy. And he kept saying there's got to be a new word for strategy. And we're yelling at the screen, even though it's old. But God's a strategist and he's already ahead. And he says, here's my strategy, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10.
Yes.
Finally, brethren, those that are the same womb, that are comrades together, finally in conclusion, puts it all together. Be, don't try. Stop trying. Be strong, empowered in Christ. It's the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. All the power of God the Father is in him. All the power of the Godhead, Colossians says, is in Jesus. And now Jesus has taken him and put Jesus in you. And because that power is in Jesus, and now you're in him, you have the power on the inside of you.
Yeah.
Be strong.
Yeah.
In the Lord. Make sure you're in him. And the power, the strength. That's that power that's greater than any other power in the universe. It's the explosive power. It's a demonstration. It's a manifestation power of God. So be stronger in the Lord. And the power, the strength of his might. His might is his strength. Put on the strength of the Lord. Amen. Take on that supernatural. Father, I thank you this morning that you're doing something that's beyond all that we can think or imagine. The Holy Spirit says, I'm not done yet. So turn in your Bibles. Oh, if I don't do this, I'll miss it. Turn your Bibles to 2 Timothy. Remember I told you about remember Timothy? Timothy's the son of Paul. Timothy was the pastor over Ephesus as a young man. So Paul gives this warning to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. I want you to listen to the first part before I get to closing. I really am closing. Honest. Day is 1,000 days in the eyes of the Lord. No, we won't. You don't quote that one when you're preaching. Listen what Paul tells Timothy. But realize this. In other words, get in the game. Realize this. Wake up, church. That in the last days, difficult times might come. That's how some of us read it. Will come. In the last days, difficult times will come. Well, that's what he said. He even tells us what they're going to look like. You talk about crazy. For men will be lovers of self. Could stop there and say, wow. But look what he says. Lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious, gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of God, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God. Does it sound like, this doesn't sound like Paul's writing to church at Colossae or Ephesians. Oh my gosh. You know why he can write that? Spirit of God had him write it, but humanity doesn't change. Human nature doesn't change. There's nothing new under the sun. But this is where I'm going. Verse 5. Holding a form. That word form is an outward appearance. You sure are ready for this? They hold a form. On the outward, they look like everything's good. Holding a form, and the form that they're holding is a form of godliness. And another word for godliness is holy. They look good. They dress up real nice. A form of godliness, but look at this next point. Although they have denied its power, avoid such men as these. That word power is what we just read in Ephesians chapter 6, all in the thing. The only way we're going to walk in godliness is through the power of God on the inside. You can't do it on the external. The external is going to produce all those results. It can only be done in the power of God. And the reason I'm saying that is because we sang that about the fire of God, fire of Holy Spirit. I'm telling you, we're moving in a time where God is cleaning house and he's going to have holiness.
Yeah.
godliness. Those that just don't have an appearance, but he's gone to the very core. And the only thing that can clean up you on the outside is to clean you up on the inside. And I know you're already the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I know that, and you can confess it, but he's trying to line that up on the inside, which is what he's already done on the outside. And so it says they have a form or appearance of godliness, although they deny its power. So if we're going to deny the power of God, we're never going to be transformed into his image and likeness.
That's right. So true.
Are you following this?
Yep.
It just dropped in. Why are you getting a message like this? It's Christmas. Because he's breaking us out of a form of tradition. And he's preparing us for what we're about ready to move into. This is what we're about ready to move into. And I believe this message is for us. You're here today because you're a brethren. Amen. Out of the same womb. Now he wants to unite us as comrades in the same battle. He wants us to make us, we're in boot camp together. When we come out, we're going to have some likeness of him and his nature. In the image of Jesus, we're being made. We're going to look different on the outside, but on the inside, we're going to be holy even as he is holy.
Amen, amen, amen.
Father, I thank you this morning. That, Father, I thank you that we're moving in such exciting times. And, Father, we know that Isaiah 60 says that, Father, rise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you, even in gross darkness. We thank you, Father, that there's two scenarios happening in the earth. One is, Father, that things are getting darker and darker. The great and terrible day of the Lord is upon us. And we thank you that in these last days, Father, difficult times will come. But Father, we thank you those that, Father, wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Because Father, we're operating on an internal source, the glory of God, the presence of Jesus, the power, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, resurrection power. Power, explosive manifestations of power right now flowing in and through us right now. And Father, with that power, we're changing the atmosphere on the inside of us. It's affecting the atmosphere around us. And Father, it's moving out from us. So we thank you that, Father, we're about ready to move in a time of acceleration, both of great darkness and great glory. And Father, we get to choose. And I hear the Spirit of God saying, choose you this day. Which side of the fence you're going to be on. Get off from being straddling the middle of the road. For those that are lukewarm will not survive during this time. I'm setting you on fire. I'm giving you a choice right now that as you move into a new year, that the Hebrew calendar, you've already moved into a new year. And so we thank you. We're in a new year. And we thank you in this new year, Father, you're accelerating the work that you're doing in the earth. And you're looking, your eyes run to and fro across the earth, looking for those that you can show yourself and reveal yourself to, reveal your glory. So, Father, we thank you that there's a remnant, that Father is being stirred, and it's not only remaining a remnant, those that are in caves, Father, but we thank you they're coming out in masses. And we thank you, Father, there's a stirring in hearts and minds right now that, Father, you sent the greatest gift, Father, that mankind could ever experience. You so love the world that you gave your only Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And Father, we thank you. We thank you for salvation through Jesus, that we're in him and he's in us. And we thank you that, Father, you promised us, Father, the gift of Holy Spirit. And when Jesus ascended into heaven, you turned to Jesus, your Son, and you said, here's the gift of Holy Spirit. And then you said to Holy Spirit, now go and fill those those that are crying out. And Father, fill them with my spirit, my presence, the same power that raised my son from the dead, which was the spirit, the glory of the Father was the Holy Spirit. Raising Jesus from the dead dwells on the inside. So Father, we thank you as we think about celebrating, Father, this time of year and gifts and giving of gifts, receiving of gifts. We thank you that you're the great gift giver. And we thank you. You've given us the greatest gift, Father, that could have ever been given in the person of Jesus Christ. But you didn't stop there. The Father, you gave us Holy Spirit. You gave us the power right now to be strong in the Lord and the power of your might. And so we thank you right now. Pour out your Spirit. Let's make this confession. Say, Father, I thank you for loving me. Just think about that. He loved you. He loved you just where you were at. Where you are right now, he loves you. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Say, thank you for giving Jesus to die for me. I thank you, Jesus, that you went to the cross. And you went to the cross with joy. Because you saw beyond the cross. I thank you for dying for me. I thank you for dying for my sins. And I thank you for saving me. I believe in my heart. And I confess with my mouth. Jesus is Lord of my life. I welcome you, Jesus, to sit as Lord over my heart and on my heart. Now I ask you, Father, fill me with your Holy Spirit. I thank you that you said, if I ask, I shall receive. So I receive a fresh baptism of Holy Spirit and fire. I welcome you now. I thank you. I receive you, Holy Spirit. Brondo raba baka shato roho shararalaba branda rato to robo ho shatarabaha boranda raha sata raha bushoka akato to ronda rabaha shitilia branda ralala oh shababa randa just go quiet for a minute. Look to listen as you pray and look to see. Listen for that still small voice. He's given strategies right now. He's given answers to prayer. He's touching. He's hearing the cries of your heart and Holy Spirit's answering. He's bringing it. Might be a scripture. It might be a word. It might be an action you need to take. Some are asking, what do I need to do? And Holy Spirit's telling you what you need to do. Some of you say, yeah, but. He's saying, yeah, just do what I told you. He's taking away excuses. I hear Holy Spirit say, I'm taking away your excuse, your argument. Your reason why you're not. Or reason why I am. He's taken all those excuses away. So I'm giving you a new identity this morning. And it's in me. Huh. Just receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Wow. Amen. What an honor to be running with such people that are hungry and pressing in. Wow. I mean, sometimes we think, well, if you put me in another group, no, he put you here.
Thank you, Lord.
So settle that for such a time as this. Amen. I heard this morning, was just reminded, it was talking about One of the things, and I got reminded through Dutch Sheets, one of the words about him raising up refuge cities in these last days. Dr. David prophesied over us that we were a refuge city or region. The people be coming in a Goshen. Yeah, an ark. And Susie's been prophesying about Goshen. I've heard more about Goshen. Think, whoa, that's who we are. You know, once the Spirit starts to operate, demonic won't want to come in this region. So instead of people moving out, they're going to start moving in. I believe that's what happens when we become a place of Goshen and refuge. So we're a house, but it's regional, a house of refuge. So expect to see people. I'm not going to be sure. I mean, when people tell me, God told me to move back to Detroit, you think, God told you that? Yeah? Wow, people are coming back because it's promise that we're to be a model city. As Detroit goes, so goes this nation. And it's not just one. Open heaven. Open heaven. Amen?
Amen.
So Father, seal this right now.
Yes.
Seal this word in us individually.
Yes.
Father, seal this word brethren onto us.
Yes.
All born out of the same womb.
Yes. Thank you.
For the same assignment.
Yes. Thank you.
Fighting the same enemy. And one will chase 1,000 to flight, and two will chase 10,000. Thank you, what you're stirring right now, the spirit of synergy right now, resting upon us right now as we connect. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Okay, two more weeks to our Christmas Eve service.
In the morning.
In the morning. No candlelight. It's in the morning. We might have candlelight, Apostle Linda said. Okay. In the morning. In the morning. Okay, go in the power of His might and strength. If you need prayer outside of the prayer that's been here and worship and praying and prophetic, just tell someone, pray for me. I need your prayer. Pray for Arlene. Arlene sent a message that her sister, husband was diagnosed. He has lung cancer, but it's gone to the brain area. So Arlene's asking for prayer. So pray. We agree with you, Arlene, in the name of Jesus, and send the word into your brother-in-law's life right now. And sister, just let the comfort of Holy Spirit, and we release a miracle to them in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Amen.